Peace be with you in the name of Jesus. Today we consider Jesus' temptation in the wilderness from the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And on this first Sunday of Lent, we recognize that after Jesus' baptism, Mark says immediately, without anything else happening first, Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness or desert area to be tempted by the devil. From this, we see that we will all face temptation. Immediately after Jesus' baptism, he is tempted. And in our lives, we will be tempted too. There's no waiting period, no waiting for us to grow up even to be adulthood before we are tempted. But temptation sets in right away. When we baptize children, there are adults there, parents, and sometimes sponsors or others who promise to help raise that child in the Christian faith, because we know that even for a tiny child, the devil will not waste time. We are in the wilderness now, and the devil harasses us, and so does the world and its attitude towards God. That infects us. And of course, we have those desires that come from our own bodies, our own flesh, and drive us away from God. And so the Lord wants us to be strengthened so that we can resist temptation. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. It was the Word of God that drove him out. Now, Jesus is not forced when we talk about the word drove here, as if he did not want to go, as if he was reluctant to go, but it is to show us that it is God's will, the Father and the Spirit, who lead Jesus into this temptation, into this place of temptation. The Spirit's urging meets Jesus' own consent, and the two work together to bring him to that place. Now, this is because we believe that Jesus was willing to prove himself worthy. The Father was not tempted, neither was the Holy Spirit tempted, but Jesus' human nature, only the Son. The bodily Jesus was tempted by Satan himself. And previously, when Jesus was baptized, we have those words from heaven, "You are my beloved Son," which show us that he had met God's approval. And now that approval was being tested. Would he follow his mission when things got hard? We will see. We are tempted also in this life. There's no distinction between Christ and us in being tempted. It's not like Christ is tempted and we're not. But as he was, we will be too. Fortunately for us, the temptations are not as strong as were leveled at Jesus. After all, who's asked you if you would fall down and worship Satan, he would give you all the kingdoms of the earth? You know, we might not be able to withstand something like that, but Christ did. But there's a distinction, of course, between temptation and testing. The Bible says, as we read in James today, that God tempts no one. God doesn't set out before us these pleasures or desires to see if we'll go follow the devil. He doesn't want that to happen. It is rather, as James says in his writing, that each one of us is led away by our own desires, our own sinful purposes. And so we have to blame ourselves and the devil and those other influences around us. Now, sometimes it's much too easy for Christians to forget about temptation. And in our world, it's difficult to be a Christian and not be led into temptation, just because it's all around us everywhere. The whole world is set up to get us to do things that we might not want to do. That's sometimes the purpose of advertising, to get us to buy something that we didn't think we really needed, but they want to entice us to do that. And as you know, sometimes advertising will present itself in a way that is portraying a sinful life, that somehow will give us pleasure. And then there's us too. We put ourselves in situations where we might not be strong enough to resist. The Apostle James said that God doesn't tempt us. We can't blame our failures on God when we fail to follow his will for us. But he wants us to follow the truth. On the other hand, besides temptation, there is testing. And that's something that we would say the Bible tells us that God is often responsible for in our life. Not tempting us to fall away, but testing our faith to see if it has grown and where it's going in the future. This is his loving work. Now, this is the time of year that we think about paying our taxes. And a wise man once said to me that tax evasion is unlawful, but tax aversion is very commendable. He said, why pay taxes that the government says you don't have to? You know, study the laws or get somebody to help you so you aren't paying more than the laws say you have to. That's the difference. Well, we could apply that to temptation too. In our present state as sinful human beings, we can't evade all temptation. It is going to come upon us. We can't evade all sin because sin is already in us. As the Bible says, it was there from the time we were conceived and born into the world. We were sinners at that time. But we can, with God's Spirit, avert some outbursts of sin from us. And that's our Christian responsibility, to curb those things. We can, when God makes us grow to follow more closely his commands as revealed in his word, with his help, make some progress with perhaps maybe our temper or those lusts of the flesh. We don't need to be given over to them as we were when we were younger. But as we mature in the faith, God is strengthening us and teaching us to resist. And we have many examples for this, but today the Old Testament reading presents us with that man Abraham, who lived about 2,000 years ago. He was asked to do what seems impossible today, to carry out the death of his son Isaac. And what meant most to him, I think, as you read the book of Genesis, to Abraham was his family, because his family was the promise that God gave him. In his old age, he had never had children, but God said, I'm going to make your family into a mighty nation. Abraham must have thought, well, with what? I don't have any children. My wife's old. And yet God promised that he would have a son. And several times God came to him in his life and said, this son that you have, Isaac, this little boy, he is going to have children, and they're going to have children. And someday your descendants are going to be as numerous. Look up in the sky and see the stars. That's how many relation you're going to have, even more. So when God tested him and said, take your son Isaac, take him where I tell you to go and sacrifice him there to death, this must have been quite a blow to him. I often wonder, how could he do that? How could he obey God and go against his own love and desire and against his own family? But that was the faith that God gave him, to trust God's word. The Spirit of God was with Abraham. He could do it. He met God's test. I look at Abraham and I think, why do I so often fail? I don't have any test like that. God never said to me, sacrifice your child to me. And yet, I fail so often. Why do we fail so often in our spiritual walk with God to obey him? Because we are weak. We are weak. But how do we get stronger? We look to one place and one place only. Not to our own ability to obey God, for that has surely failed already. There's one place we can look, and that is to God himself. We look to Jesus Christ. Perfect obedience to God, like the world's never seen before. Jesus Christ followed God, his Father's will, and he was blessed. Now, when Isaac saw the wood and the fire, he asked his father, where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb we're going to sacrifice, Dad? And how Abraham's heart must have ached inside him when he said, well, God's going to provide the sacrifice. He knew what God had said, that his child was going to be it, but he didn't tell his son. God would provide. And then, when they got there, and he was about to sacrifice the child, that's when God intervened and provided that ram, that animal, for the sacrifice. But that's to show us something, isn't it? And we immediately look to Jesus. Jesus Christ, he is a spotless lamb. He is a perfect sacrifice with his life and total obedience to this Heavenly Father's will. And he is the sacrifice that God has provided for all of us. So when we face temptation, we do too well to remember the obedience of Christ in all things. We are receiving God's forgiveness in Christ, and we're led to do now what is pleasing to him, this God who gives himself to save us. And how blessed we are to have that Savior Jesus Christ before us. Now, Jesus taught us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." What does that mean? The Bible says God doesn't tempt anyone. Why would Jesus pray to God, tell us to pray, and say, "Don't lead us into temptation"? Well, Luther taught to his congregation that it means this, and you've probably heard this in the Small Catechism if you've read that lately. God tempts no one, but we pray that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature may not mislead us or deceive us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. And though we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. The strength comes from God, not from within ourselves, but the strength is there nonetheless. Are we making use of that strength? Are we praying to God and asking him, "Keep me from these temptations, sustain me in these temptations when the devil attacks me"? You know what it's like, O Lord. Jesus, you fasted 40 days in the wilderness, and the temptations were so strong, and yet you resisted. Lead me, guide me, teach me, that I may follow you more closely. And we look to his perfect sacrifice, which forgives all of our sins, and we know that is the real motivation. For he has forgiven and loves us, and he will surely care for us in the time of our trouble. The Bible has much to say about resisting temptation, but one of my favorite places to read when I am tempted is 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, where it says that God will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to withstand with his help. And it says that he will always provide a way of escape when the temptation comes. And then there was that time before Jesus' crucifixion, and the disciples were tempted to fall asleep. And he said, "Pray. Pray that you not fall into temptation." And I think that is our greatest defense against the devil, is being able to call upon God in the time that we are tempted and ask for his strength. He will be there and he will help us. As we travel through these 40 days together to Easter, we do well to ask God to strengthen our faith, looking to Jesus as he gives it all so that we might be restored as the people of God. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.